Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered to him, You are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. The word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Bob. And Nancy, thank you very much for that beautiful reflection. We say those words so often, may they never be said by rote. Your story reminds us of the great gift that comes with the Lord's Prayer. Sermon title this morning is Once is Not Enough. Wasn't that a Jack and Suzanne novel? Was that? Somebody. It was some trashy novel, wasn't it? Thought it looked familiar when I wrote it down there. Well, this isn't going to be a trashy sermon. We're going to talk about a phrase. We're going to talk about being born again. Now, there are people in this congregation who proudly proclaim they are born again, and there are people in this congregation that run screaming in panic from the term. And that's fine. That all has to do with our experience with certain words and certain concepts, and knows we Christians are not perfect, and occasionally we might hurt someone else's faith with our behavior. These things happen. But to be born again, born anew, born from above, you see, this is part of the problem with Greek, is that word can mean any of those things. Anew, from above, again. When we think born again, often, for most of us mainline Christians, we think of a guy in a bad hairpiece, in a bad suit, with a 1-800 number flashing below him, right? Or we think of that incredibly callous individual hitting us over the head with the Bible and saying things that were just ugly and rude. Or we think about that time when we finally opened our heart and our entire life was changed in a beautiful and brilliant way. But the term born again is not universal, unfortunately. But the concept is. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, which means he was one of no more than 6,000 people in Israel who had made a vow to follow the very letter of the law. Now, the law isn't just the Torah. It's not just the Ten Commandments. It's the Mishnah, which is taking the law of the books of Moses in our Bible and expounding on it into all different situations in life. And then it's taking the Talmud, which is a commentary on the Mishnah, and following that to the point where for a Pharisee, every T was crossed, every I was dotted in a particular way. And it got to the point where, for instance, Barclay gives a great example of this. You can't tie a knot on the Sabbath. That's work. And you can't tie a knot on the Sabbath, according to Pharisaic observation. You can't tie a knot. But if you can tie the knot with one hand, that's not work. You can do that. Or if you're tying a knot because you're a woman and you're tying up your shif, that's okay. Or if you're tying the strings on your girdle. So if you were thirsty and you went to the well, now this is really true. You're thirsty and you go to the well, and the bucket's not tied to the rope, and it's the Sabbath day, you can't tie the rope to the bucket. But if you happen to have a lady's girdle, you can tie it to the bucket and tie it to the rope and get your water. Now, I'm not ridiculing the Pharisees, because in truth, they were trying to follow the law completely and perfectly. They were devoting their entire life to observation. Now, Nicodemus, beyond being a Pharisee, is also a member of the Sanhedrin, which is like the Jewish Supreme Court. The most powerful, faithful people were on the Sanhedrin. So Nicodemus is extremely well-versed in the faith. And he's a very powerful individual, recognized as one of the top religious folks of his day. And he has come to see Jesus. Now, we already know that Jesus threatens the power structure, the religious power structure. And so Nicodemus comes by night, when the crowds have dissipated, when no one will see him, and sneaks in to talk to Jesus. And he starts out by saying, "We know that you've got to be coming from God, because there's no other way you could do the things that you've been doing." So right away, Nicodemus is confessing to Jesus, essentially, "We know you're the Messiah." But he leaves it at that. He leaves it right there. He's sitting there, face to face with the guy they've been waiting 1,000 years to see. And he can't get past the head smarts to really absorb what is happening during his lifetime and really embrace it. And Jesus comments on this fact and essentially says, "Look, Nicodemus, why are you insisting on staying in the shallows when you've got depth right here before you? Why are you insisting on thinking of things in such shallow terms?" And he suggests to Nicodemus that all of us are born. We're all born into the world. And when we're born into the world, we have certain perceptions we develop. You know, there's vertical lines and there's horizontal lines, and we get those first. You get the concept of solid things under your feet and sky above you. You get all that stuff down, and that's all your basic environment. And then some people start to learn that there's more than just that. That there's more than just rocks are hard and water is wet. But there's more going on in the world. And these people, they open themselves to God. If they listen to what Christ has to say, these people gain a new reality in which they can see things more deeply. It's very easy to just live at face value. Very easy to do it. But after a while, it's very boring as well. But if you dig in behind face value and look at the mystery of life itself, things become deeper and far more rich. Nicodemus is baffled. Are you telling me, he says, that I've got to crawl back into my mother's womb? He's being disingenuous. As a Pharisee and a religious expert of the day, he would have known that people who converted to Judaism, the first thing they were fed after they were converted was milk, as if they were infants. If you converted to Judaism, you were treated as if you were an infant and you had a brand new life. All the pagan mystery religions around the area had rebirthing ceremonies. So Nicodemus was aware of the concept and was playing dumb. And Jesus says to him, look, you see the effects of the wind, even though you don't see where it comes from or where it goes to. And you know the wind exists. And what he's saying is essentially, look, you don't see where this spirit is coming from or going to, but look at my followers and you'll see its effects. Barclay tells another great story of a common laborer who was something of a drunk, who had a conversion experience. And all of his workmates who liked to go out to the bar together after work were teasing him and saying, you don't believe in all those miracles, do you? You don't believe that Jesus turned water into wine. And the reformed, born-again laborer who no longer drank said, I don't know about water into wine, but I've seen Jesus turn beer into furniture in my house. For those of you who are uncomfortable with the concept of born again, I would urge you, just like I've had to do, because I've been treated poorly by some very arrogant Christians as well. And in truth, we've treated them poorly as often as not. I would urge you not to give up on the term, but go directly to the words of Christ and see what he's saying there. To be born again, Jesus is telling Nicodemus, and John is telling us, to be born again is to have your eyes, your heart, and your soul opened in a new way that changes your life forever. And this is necessary. This is necessary for us, not to earn our way into heaven, but to gain a more full appreciation of what God has already done for us, what God intends for us to do. To be born again is to accept the mystery. You know, I got no idea how a television works. I still watch one. You know, I can't repair a car, but I'll turn the key and drive one. I don't completely understand how the Holy Spirit works, but I'm going to grab hold and follow it every step that I can, and when I can no longer step, I'm confident the Holy Spirit will carry me from there. To be born once is to enter a world that has blessings and curses in it. To be born once is to struggle with our own imperfect mortality and to live and breathe and go to work every day and sleep every night, eat when we're hungry. To be born once is to be blessed to enter God's world. But then to be born spiritually is to gain a whole new perspective, is to understand and recognize each other truly as brothers and sisters, is to let love rule our every action, is to truly desire peace in the world by striving for peace first in our own hearts and relationships. To be born once is not enough, because we miss so much of what God has laid out. to be born anew is to start up the adventure. So once is not enough. Trashy novel, pretty simple and short sermon. Once is not enough. Not that you have anything to prove. No, not that you have anything to prove. But they have so much more to experience and to know, and not to know but accept. Nicodemus, we are told later in Scripture, would come around. In fact, in the end, it was Nicodemus who helped with Jesus' body at his death. Nicodemus eventually quit playing dumb or quit playing smart and accepted the fact that there were things way beyond him and that there were mysteries too deep for him to solve, but that there was no denying the mystery would make a difference in his life. So, may we all be born again, however that term works, with our relationship with our God. Amen.